I would like for us to start our journey in the first chapter of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and we're going to start reading on verse 1 up to verse 4. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful again for being in thy presence as a congregation, pleading that you will direct us in any study and meditation of thy holy word. We plead the help of the Holy Spirit to take us through this journey that we just started. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to understand the message that will be conveyed to us. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have just read in Genesis 1, verse 4, that God divided the light from the darkness. So from the very beginning of the existence of all things in this earth, God wanted the light to be separated from the darkness. This was the very characteristic of God himself, for we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 that God is light and there is no darkness in him. So what God was doing at the very beginning of creation was just portraying his own nature in what he was creating, his creation. His creation was to reflect his own glory. This separation was to be also the principle of life for manhood, who was created at the image of God. And we see this is a spiritual principle because it has its beginning in God himself, who is a spirit. And God's plan for manhood was for them to abide in light, in all things that belong to God, and enjoy his goodness. So when manhood was created, within their hearts, there was only light of God abiding. But something happened in Genesis 3. We are told that men fall into sin. For the first time in history, manhood came to experience darkness within by entering in a new communion and relationship with sin, which was not known to them before. The human heart was only intended in creation to be filled by the light of God. But after the fall, the very same deepness of the heart of man was filled by sin, darkness, and enmity against all things related to the light of God. So from now on, manhood was to live separated from the light because of his choice, because of falling into sin. Separated from the light of God that they knew from the beginning of their existence. Then, if we go on in history of humanity, the Bible talks about a clear separation between the godly seed of light after Seth, one of the children of Adam and Eve, the third one, and separation from the ungodly seed of darkness after Cain. This is the time in history when it was set a principle that will mark the path for the entrance of Messiah into the world. Two lines, two seeds, the godly seed and the ungodly seed. The separation from those, or the separation between those belonging to the light of God and those reacting against that light in darkness. So the very tendency of sin dwelling in the human heart since the fall has been to darken the light of God by mixing darkness and light. Those that were intended to be separated from the very beginning. The very intent since the fall has been to make the holy things unholy. Back in the time of Noah, in chapter 6 of Genesis, we read more about the deepening of the sinful tendency of manhood with the mixing of the sons of God, or the godly seed, and the daughters of men, the ungodly. And after that, sin took men to a position of complete darkness. And this is in that situation that we read that the very imagination of the thoughts of the heart of man was only evil continually. Such is the final product of sin and darkness within the heart of any man. Man, remember, that was created in light, to abide in light for eternity. Late in history, we read of the people of God, the Israelites. We all know the history of the birth of the Israelites, but when they were already out of Egypt and ready to conquer the promised land, what is one of the main commandments that God gave them? They were not to mix their spring with the people of the land of Canaan, and they were not to learn their traditions of idolatry. So in other words, they were to keep the light separated from darkness. They needed to keep the seed pure. They had to be separated unto the holiness of God. And in the history of Israel, we find many times when such a principle of separation between light and darkness is not kept by God's people. In Ezra, if you go with me, we're going to be reading about three passages. Ezra being the first one. Chapter 9. Now, verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and all these others that are mentioned here. And verse 2, for they have taken of the daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands, yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in his trespass. Even the leadership of the congregation of Israel have mixed with the inhabitants of the land before the people, and they were chief in the defilement of the Israelites. Also in Nehemiah chapter 9, in verse 2, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Here we see the opposite. Following God's principle of separation, people repented from their sins, repented from their actions, from their iniquities, confessed, and separated themselves from all strangers. And also in Nehemiah, now in chapter 13, in verse 3, now it came to pass when they had heard the law and that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. So it is clear from scriptures God intended for his people to be distinguished, separated from the multitudes with the single purpose of fulfilling his will and with the single purpose of protecting them from defilement and spiritual devastation. The Hebrew word here used for separation conveys the idea of to set apart, to withdraw from. This is a very short journey in the Old Testament, but when we get to the New Testament, the understanding of this separation of light from darkness continues deepening. In Romans, for example, in verse 1, Romans 1, 1, help you out a little bit, giving a little bit of wind, finding the passage, Romans 1, 1, in this verse, we find also the word separation, but in a different context. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Most of the passages that we have been considering in the Old Testament are talking about separation from. This passage is talking about separation and to. And this is a different direction. Truly, God is intending that his people will be separated from darkness. But the ultimate intent of God is that we will be directed unto light, separated unto light. And this is where we find the Apostle Paul called to be an apostle. Now, that word separated is interesting. The Pharisees took their name, Pharisee, from this very word. This is the word separation. Because the Pharisees separated themselves to the study of the law. This is why they were called Pharisees. Now, Paul was formerly one of those. He was separated unto the study of the law. But now, here in this context, he is a different man. He has already been called by God from this old religion to be part of the family of God. And now he's not talking about being separated to the study of the law, but he's talking about being separated unto the gospel. He was now a gospel Pharisee, if we can put it that way. In Galatians 1:15, it says that he was separated from his mother's womb by an immediate direction of the Spirit. So here, Romans 1:1 denotes a separation related with Paul's calling to become an apostle, one who was set apart for the service of the gospel. He was separated to be dedicated to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was translated from the darkness of his past life when he was dead in his trespasses and sins to the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of light. And the same action of separating from and unto is the action of separation that appears in some other passages I would like to read for you. The first one being in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, just one verse, verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever or separate the wicked from among the just. Another passage in the same context is in Matthew 25, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. If we have been reading about separation at the beginning of creation, this is at the very end of the last days, when God will certainly separate the wicked from among the just. And he will also separate the sheep from the goats. There is complete consistency in this spiritual principle, which is rooted in God Himself from the very beginning of this earth to the very end. And both passages that we have been reading in Matthew are making reference to that end of time when separation seems to be assimilated by new powers arising. God will be faithful to His own nature, to His own person, to His own principles. He will separate the light from darkness, the just from the wicked, and the sheep from the goats. Now, as we are entering into consideration of this principle in the last days, there is one verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that talks about the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now we live in a day when sin has permeated all layers of human thinking. All the philosophies of this world are already impregnated with sin. And separation between light and darkness is not as clear as the Bible intends, even among Christians. When you read about the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, you soon realize that Christ is outside because he's knocking at the door. Somehow that Laodicean church, which is the church of the people, or the church that is ruled by the people, has left Christ without, outside. And that church is extremely, extremely focused on the material things while denying the very spiritual needs of their own souls. They got to assess the well-being of their souls by the wrong measure, their own human fleshly well-being. They said, I'm quoting from Revelation chapter 3, they said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't think they were saying that they had need of nothing referring to God. They thought that in their so-called Christian life, they were doing the right thing and they were pleased with that. So in other words, they said, this is well with God according to my view, because I have reached an estate of well-being for my flesh. People associated with God in this church of Laodicea were living a gospel of the flesh, and not a gospel of the spirit, in which well-being is measured by the rule of God, which is spiritual and not physical. While they were deceiving themselves, thinking that they were doing the right thing in their religion, in their Christianity, God saw them as, and I'm reading from, quoting from the Bible, God saw them as miserable and poor and not rich. What a dramatic situation. Sometimes when I look at myself while I'm preaching, so now I'm being recorded and I will look at that recording afterwards, I just think that what I see is not what I did. Sometimes we are not aware of what we are doing while we are doing it. And this is when we look at ourselves very carefully, that we start finding those things that probably we don't like, and we were deceiving ourselves. The way I speak, I would like to speak faster. If I could speak in Spanish, I would certainly do. I would like to express myself in a different way, find other words, more vocabulary. All these are in my mind while I'm preaching, and then I will be looking at the video, and all these will come out. But when we look to ourselves through the Bible, and it's God telling us who we really are, and we are not willing to deceive ourselves, this is when we come to the realization of our misery. And we need to recognize that we are poor and not rich in ourselves. And this is dramatic for our whole church to be in that situation. This is a classic example of lukewarmness in the Bible. The mixing of opposites. The mixing of spirituality and carnality. What is the same? The mixing of the light and the darkness that God divided in the beginning of creation. This is the intent of trying to reach the goals of the Christian life using carnal or worldly means. Or let's put it this way. This is the void intent of trying to be like Christ. This is the Christian life purpose, while I continue living in the flesh my own way, doing things my own way, not being crucified with Christ, not living by the faith of the Son of God, and still believing I'm doing the right thing. This is the deceit of lukewarmness. What the Bible describes here in Revelation chapter 3 is a huge lack of self-awareness and accountability before God. The mixing of light and the mixing of darkness, the mixing of deceit, the mixing of the means of God and the means of the world, the mixing of the spiritual things and the fleshly things, all these things bring confusion and prompts hypocrisy in the church, producing casualties in the lives of many. Such was the case of Demas, companion of Paul. We read in the Bible that Demas, forsaken Paul, having loved this present world. And after Demas, many more have neglected, have denied this principle of making a division, a separation, being separated in their personal lives, and making that clear distinction between those things belonging to light and those things belonging to darkness. And as a consequence, the works of the flesh have brought them to devastation. And even if we think about our own lives and how many times we have been walking in this thin fence where there was not a clear distinction in between light and darkness. How many times we have been enticed by those attractive things of the dark world, and we have finally yielded to temptation. And even today, we are still paying the consequences of the devastation of that sin in our lives. Oh, what a respect we owe to God's principles. This is not about putting rules. This is about living God's principles. God is light, and He does not abide in darkness. So we are to live in light. Not because I'm not supposed to do this or I'm not supposed to do this other thing, but because I love God with all my heart, and I know that if God is abiding in my heart, I am to abide in light in all these things that I have in front of me, in all these decisions I have to take. This is why we read in a passage such as 1 Peter, verse 1, sorry, chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Interesting is to look at the meaning of that word holy in the Greek, and it conveys the idea of being separated unto God. This is something that is holy, something that has been separated from its origin and has been dedicated to God. So what we are reading here is that being holy, what we are to do, means that we are to be separated unto God. Again, this is the same principle that comes directly from the day of creation. Here we have the command of God to be separated in all the way that we live. This is the meaning of all manner of conversations. Actually, in the Spanish Bible, it talks about in all your manner of living. This is also the meaning conveyed in this verse. So, in all your life, whatever you do, wherever you are, God is telling us that He has called us to be holy or separated unto God, meaning that after redemption, He has purchased us with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has paid the price of our redemption. And now we are His people to live according to His principles. It doesn't matter if everybody is doing something different. What He's telling the Bible to us today is that we are called to be holy in all manner of conversation. And that is going to be a tough situation for the youth when we are thrown in this world of science and different philosophies, and most of the other young people around us will not live according to this principle. We need to understand that this is going to be only for a while. This is not going to last forever. Very soon, we will be out of that situation and thrown into another one. And very soon, we will be taken from this second situation and thrown into eternity. And you know what? In eternity, will no longer matter all those pressures that we had on earth. So it is better now, looking from the future to the present, looking from our state in heaven, it's better to look back and try to see our life into that short perspective. Everything shall pass, but God and His principles will remain for eternity. In heaven, there won't be any darkness, only light. Jesus also told His followers in Matthew 5, 14 and 16 that they were to show the light of God to this world. So that's another privilege. We are not light in ourselves, but we know that Christ is the light of the Father, so He's reflecting 100% the power of the light of God the Father. And once we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us, once we are in Christ, now we become light to this world. And the way to do this is clearly told by Jesus to His followers is through good works. Let me read that passage for you. Matthew 5 and verse 14. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, the way that Jesus has determined that the light that He's given us will shine before men is by showing that light through good works. So this is not to just to declare, "I am in the light. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm in the light." This is not about confessing anything. This is about living. Again, tied up to the verse in 1 Peter 1:15, when we are to live separated, holy in all manner of conversation. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ continues digging in into that truth and is saying, you need to show that light through good works. In other words, through the daily living. My actions have to be of light to others. The way I react, the way I behave, the way I talk, all this has to give us the opportunity and the privilege of being light to others. So the ultimate goal is also mentioned in verse 16. So they glorify your Father which is in heaven. So this is not for our own benefit only, but also is for the benefits of others. And the ultimate benefit is that we will be glorifying God with our lives. But let me ask you something, because I asked that question to myself. We are told that we are to live holy in all manner of conversation. We are told that we are to shine in the light of Jesus through good works. But my question for myself and for you is, who is sufficient to live this life? Who can live in a holy manner? Probably that word holy is contaminated by the false understanding of holiness of God in other religions or in this world. But actually, it's a very practical thing. First, there is the declaration that God has separated us and Him. This is the call of the ecclesia, the church. Ecclesia means called out. So God has called us out of this world and translated us into the kingdom of light, so we start living according to the light and not according to the darkness of sin. But who can live in a holy manner as God is expecting? I'm not, and I clarify my answer. I cannot live that life based on my own capabilities. I know I will fail once again. And once again. And Pastor Lee already mentioned something about this morning. Only Christ is sufficient. And the answer is evident for all of you. Only Christ is sufficient to live this holy life. So, as long as I live in Christ, a door opens for me to start a new life in light. Because He's holy, and He is the light of the Father. The phos is the Greek word. The phos of the Father. The very reflection of the light of the eternal God. And Christ, who was the light of this world, had to face the darkest hour of history for you and for me, so we can live in this holy manner. And this is where the previous thought is connected to the solution or to the means by which we can live by light, in the light. We read in the Bible in Matthew that the sixth hour of the day when Jesus Christ was crucified, in that day there were darkness upon the land for 3 hours. So here is the paradox. What a paradox. The light of this world came to earth. The Lord Jesus Christ was now hanging in a cross. In the midst of the deepest of the darkness, suffering the wrath and judgment of God for the sin of humanity, for your sin and my sin. So this is where light and darkness somehow are reflected in that cross of Calvary. The light of this world, the light of the Father, was being judged in a cross because of my sin and not because of His. These hours of darkness, 3 hours from noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, according to our clocks, Jesus, the beloved Son of the eternal God, claimed, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? And this is a clear indication that Jesus had to endure during these 3 hours the very judgment of God. This was not the physical suffering produced by man. This is what religions are trying to portray from Jesus. This is not so much the physical suffering. This was about the very judgment of sin falling upon Him in the hour of darkness that brought Jesus to the place where He was abandoned of His Father. This is why He claims, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, oh, my God, why thou hast forsaken me. The author of light, the very author of creation, was taking my sin upon His shoulders in the darkest hour of history. And I wonder, about that scene in history. Christ suffered the hours of darkness in the cross of Calvary to clear out all the darkness that sin has brought in our souls. He who was the light suffered the darkness of that hour of judgment, so we that abide in darkness because of sin can be separated from this world and translated into the kingdom of light unto Christ to live a holy, separated life. Time is short. Life is passing by. Time is short to separate ourselves from sin and filthiness unto Christ. There is a deep need. There is a deep need of each individual to let Christ to enter. He is at the door knocking today, in these last days. The very same light of Christ, if you let him in, will reveal the darkness of the heart. I'm not talking about people that are not Christians today. Certainly, this will apply to them as well. If you are here, you are not a Christian, you open your heart to Christ, the light of Christ will enlighten your darkness. But I'm talking and addressing these words to those that are Christians, those that are in the light, because they have already been translated into the kingdom of heaven. Still much need for God to unveil the need of my own soul. May God show me that I am poor. May God show me that I am miserable. May God fill me with the presence of His Holy Spirit to empower my life, to live that life, that simple life that I've been called to. This is the holy life, separated unto God. May we be a clear cut when it comes to living separated lives unto the Lord. May God look unto our lives, and may others observe, gaze our lives, and see a clear separation in between light and darkness. So much confusion came to the church of Laodicea. Lukewarmness, carnality. May God give us a fresh desire, a renewed desire to live a true life so we can please Him. Hymn 561, I'm going to read from that Him, only the two first stanzas. I'm going to read it for you. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. This is about a life that is not confusing. It's a clear cut. Striving to please Him in all that I do. This is being holy in all manner of conversation. Yielding alliance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. And also the second stance, living for Jesus who died in my place. We already read about the dark hour of Calvary. Bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace, such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. At the end, this is the love of God. This is the love of God calling us unto holiness. This is the love of God calling us unto Himself. And when we are in Christ, when we are kept in Him, there is nothing such as this. The delight of being in sweet communion with God, there is nothing such as this. This is like a A window from heaven open for us. This is a window of eternity open for us here in earth to be in communion with God, living a holy life, a life that is true. I encourage you, if you are in need of this message today, to come to God and make things clear. Confusion is not a word associated with Christianity. It is today, and this is sad, but it shouldn't. We should be clearly, clearly on the light side. May God help us to reflect the kind of life that God is tenderly asking us to have. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for having thy word. Without the Holy Scriptures, we will be lost in our own thoughts. But we are so thankful that through the guidance of the word and also the guidance of thy Holy Spirit, you are opening our eyes to the light. Oh Lord, we pray that you will clear out all darkness from our souls, that we will be Christians desiring to be in the light, desiring to pay the price of being despised by this world, but being embraced by our Father in heaven. We are so thankful for thy goodness upon our lives. And we want to pray, Lord, that you will forgive us. You will forgive us for being confusing to others and even deceiving to ourselves, thinking above, thinking about ourselves above the concept and the true reality of ourselves. Help us to be true to thee. Help us to confess. Help us to repent. Help us to come to thee for help. Oh, help us, Lord, to live a holy life. And we are so thankful for the love. Once again, you have demonstrated to us by opening the word, by showing us our soul, by giving us the direction to work we have to walk. We are so thankful, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was hanging at the cross of Calvary in the hour of darkness. And all this to bring light to us, to this world. Oh, Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.